A reading from Isaiah, the 30th chapter. And now go, write it before them on a tablet, and inscribe it in a book, that it may be for the time to come as a witness forever. For they are a rebellious people, lying children, children unwilling to hear the instruction of the Lord, who say to the seers, "Do not see," and to the prophets, "Do not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us smooth things. Prophesy illusions. Leave the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel." Therefore, thus says the Holy One of Israel, "Because you despise this word and trust in oppression and perverseness and rely on them, therefore this iniquity shall be to you like a breach in a high wall, bulging out and about to collapse, whose breaking comes suddenly, in an instant, and its breaking is like that of a potter's vessel that is smashed so ruthlessly that among its fragments not a shard is found with which to take fire from the hearth or to dip up water out of the cistern. For thus says the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. But you were unwilling, and you said, 'No, we will flee upon horses.' Therefore you shall flee away, and we will ride upon swift steeds. Therefore your pursuers shall be swift. 1,000 shall flee at the threat of one. At the threat of 5 you shall flee till you are left like a flagstaff on the top of a mountain, like a signal on a hill." A reading from Romans chapter 8. If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, "For your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered." No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The first scripture reading at the close of the year records the tragic response of Israel to the call and promise of the Lord. He had said to them, "In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength." What a wonderful, gracious word. The Lord invites people who are in rebellion against him to leave behind their willfulness. They're going their own way in search of security and prosperity, and to return to him. Like the father of the prodigal son, The Lord longs for them to come back, is eager to welcome them in a joyous embrace. He wants to care for them, to comfort them, to provide them with everything that they need. Repent, he says. Turn back to me. Let me give you rest. Leave behind all the futile striving and effort, and enjoy quiet and peace under my care. Israel's response to this gracious invitation was no. As the Lord described it, you were unwilling. We'd like to ask how the people could have been so foolish. But we really don't need to ask, do we? We know from our own experience. You see, it's not just Israel whom the Lord invites to repent, to turn to him and know quiet and rest and strength, relying on him. The Lord calls each one of us to turn to him, to repent and receive all we need from his mercy and grace. But you and I aren't so sure about his promises. Wonder if we might not be better off looking after ourselves. You and I don't see that our situation is desperate enough to justify surrendering our autonomy and letting him be God to us. Simply put, you don't fully trust him, aren't confident that his way is really better than your way, that what he wants for you is really better for you than what you want for yourself. With the threat of invading armies, Israel said that rather than wait in the city and trust in the Lord's promises to deliver them from their enemies, they would flee on horseback. The Lord responded, "If that's the way you want it, you'll flee all right. Because you refuse to trust me, your enemies will pursue you. And let me tell you, they're going to be fast. I was your hope, but you refused my help. Now, you're without a prayer. Your enemies will overwhelm you. You will be routed, all because you were unwilling to return to me and be saved." Referring to the history of Israel, St. Paul wrote, "Now these things happened to them as an example, but they were written down for our instruction, on whom the end of the ages has come." The example of Israel refusing to repent and of the Lord's just response is written so that we can learn from the mistake they made, so that we will not be unwilling to return to the Lord and rely on him. If the sad example of Israel were not enough to bring us to our senses, to cause us to repent, the second reading we heard this evening provides us overwhelming evidence of the Lord's goodwill toward us. God is for us, St. Paul assures us. How can we be certain? Because he did not spare his son, his only son whom he loved, but gave him up for us all. For you, God gave his son, so that you would not perish, but have eternal life. What greater evidence of his love could God have given you? What greater price could he have paid for your redemption? But even though the perfect obedience of Christ and his innocent suffering and death have canceled everything God had against you. He doesn't stop with that. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised, is now sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you. Jesus prays for you. Prays that God's name would be holy in your life, that God's kingdom would come to you, that God's good and gracious will for your salvation would be done. He asks his Father to supply you with everything that you need for this body and life, and to forgive you. He prays, as he prayed for Peter, that you would be preserved when you face temptation, that you would repent when you have sinned, and that you would be delivered from the evil one and all of his malevolent plans. He also comes to you working through his word, "I forgive you all your sins," and by his true body and blood to bring you forgiveness and strengthen you in the faith, and to assure you week after week of his deep love for you. And there isn't anything in creation that has the power to rescue from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing that can tear you away from his will to save you. So repent of your reluctance to trust him. Know that he loves you and forgives you and wants you to be with him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness. What Isaiah wrote is true. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. This is his promise to you. Thank God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord, to life everlasting.